We read again Romans 13, verses 11 to 14. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfil its lusts. Shall we pray again? Eternal God in heaven, as we come before your holy word, we ask that you would, Lord, draw near to each one of us, that you would speak to all of our hearts. Pray that you would fill my mind and my heart, Lord, with your word and with your truth, and that you would enable me, Lord, to preach it, Lord, as it is, and, Lord, in a way which will touch each one of us. Glorify your Son, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 2017 has passed, and it's now the first Sunday in 2018. And I wonder if you've already done this. If you look back to the previous year, have you begun to take stock? Have you begun to think, well, how was I walking with the Lord last year? And what do I resolve to do this year? Some of you may have made resolutions. Are your resolutions spiritual? Do you want to not only maybe lose weight or be a bit fitter or healthier, but have you resolved to serve the Lord with more diligence and more zeal? 2017 has passed and 2018 has come, and in many ways there's hope for us. Now the verses that we've come to, we've been studying Romans, are very apt for us. It's a trumpet blast, really, isn't it? Saying the night is far spent, the day is at hand, and our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. It's a call for us as a church to wake up. Maybe we say, well, we've been a bit sleepy as Christians in 2017. Maybe we haven't. Maybe we have. Maybe we've been fits and starts. Sometimes we've been alive and doing God's work, straining with every muscle, straining with every nerve, doing all we can, labouring on. But other times we've been lax and we haven't been serving God as we ought. It's been a lack of zeal. Well, here we're told to wake up if we've been sleepy Christians, to wake up, and certainly there are things that we ought to do. We ought to cast off any works of darkness. There are the things of the flesh that are dominating us. The scripture says that we are to put them off once and for all. We're to put on the armour of light. We're to put on Jesus Christ himself. We're not to make any provision for the lusts of the flesh. Well, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. There's no people ever closer to the coming of Christ than today, is there? And that's obvious. We're the closest ever that you can be to the coming of Christ. The Apostle Paul said 2,000 years ago, the night is far spent. In his eyes, the night had been a long night and the day was at hand. Well, if he could say that then, how much more us today? It's been a long night, many sorrows, much sin. The devil's had reign over many people's lives, but Christ is coming again. The day is at hand. In some senses, the verses before us have a military tone, don't they? Put on the armour of light. The passage that Tim read talked about a breastplate and a helmet. Our brother Mark brought to us Ephesians 6 on Wednesday. The armour that we ought to be putting on because we're in a battle as Christians. Wake up is the message. It comes as a trumpet call to the church. Well, three simple things tonight. First of all, think. Secondly, wake up. And thirdly, act. Well, think. Think that you're one day nearer glory. You have been saved. You are being saved. But you are going to be saved. Your salvation is nearer now than it's ever been. Much nearer than when you first believed. I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes I stagger that the world has continued as long as it has. I wouldn't have been surprised if the world was wrapped up in 1995 or 2000 or 2004. And every year I'm staggered that we're still here. When you think of the wickedness of mankind, you think, well, the Lord could have come and wrapped up the whole of history. And yet it's still a day of grace, still a day for people to repent and to turn back to God. It's still a day of God's patience and his kindness. We think of people who are in power, often irrational and impulsive men, and we think of the threat of nuclear war. And we're often staggered, aren't we, to think, well, God's restraining hand is yet upon the leaders of the nation. And every day brings the Christian closer, not to the day of doom, but brings the Christian closer to the day of our salvation, when we'll be completely free from this body of sin, when we'll see our Saviour face to face, when we'll be in paradise, when we'll be given a crown, when we hear his voice, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Is that your hope? Is that your longing to be with the Saviour? Is that your desire? We may have desires. Your desire might to be to win a soul for Jesus. That's a good desire. Your desire might be to walk in a more pleasing way to him. That's a good desire. But perhaps the greatest desire and hope is this, is to see him face to face in that sinless state in a world of love. The Bible says, he who has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. So in 2018, let's keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus. Let's think much about heaven. Let's think much about his return. For our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. When you first believed, everything seemed new, didn't it? Everything seemed wonderful. You first believed in Jesus. You trusted in him. You gave your life to him. You believed that he died on the cross for you, but you had such little understanding, really, of the Bible then. But you've matured in your faith. You've grown as a Christian. You understand a little more now of what it is to be a sinner. Well, quite a lot more. You bemoan the fact of your sin, but you long for that day when you'll be with your Saviour. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. That's the thing that we ought to think about often. But secondly, this call to wake up. Verse 11, and do this. Love God, but love your neighbour as yourself. Love fulfills the law. Do this. Love. Knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. We're soldiers. We're to be ready at battle stations. And we're to get involved. Do you feel sometimes you've pulled out of the battle? Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's just you become lazy. And the Lord is saying, wake up. It's very easy to settle down in this world. Very easy to become slack as Christians, to coast along. Very easy for the world to slowly envelop us. The pleasures and the cares of human life can strangle out faith. Very easy to be stupefied, to be sleepy. Happy, maybe, with your family life. Happy, maybe, with your church life. Happy, maybe, with your secular life. Satisfied, maybe, in the things that the world offers. And the devil's duped us. We're sucked in. We've become ineffective. The devil's happy. We're no longer in a battle. We're no longer resisting evil. We're going along with the pleasures of this life. And the Lord comes, and he comes with a trumpet call to wake us up. It is high time to awake out of sleep. When the child is off to school and the mum is trying to wake up the child has gone to bed a little bit too late. The mum may shake the child, shout a few times. Or when that man, well, he's off to work and he heard the alarm, but he went back to bed and the snooze didn't come on. And eventually somebody comes in and shouts at him, get up, you've got to get to work. But it's as if the Lord is saying that to the church, wake up. There's work to be done and there's a battle to fight. Christ is coming again. There's souls to be won. There's the devil to fight. And we must all give an account to God for our lives. Now, if we're stagnant, what happens? Well, when you have a pool of water and it's stagnant, it begins to stink. And if we Christians, we're not actively serving the Lord and giving ourselves to him, praying, well, in his eyes, we're not pleasant. The apostle several times was called to write to different churches, calling them to wake up. Ephesians 5:14, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and do not sin. In other words, if you're not alert, if you're not sober, if you're not vigilant, if you're not spiritually aware, you'll be easy prey for the devil and you'll slip into sin. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 5 and 6, you're all sons of light and sons of the day. That's what you are as Christians. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. If we're of the day, let's not be stupefied. Let's not go along with the pleasures of this world and live for self. Let's know something about the pleasures of God and serving him. Let us watch and be sober. Do you remember the Lord gave different warnings to those, or the larger part of those churches in the book of Revelation, those seven churches? He would tell them, some, that they were lukewarm. They'd lost their first love. You tell them to go back and do those first works. It's possible for a whole church to be lukewarm and compromised. Wake up is the call. And one of our problems as Christians is procrastination. We put off knowing what should be done. It's often the case, isn't it? There's something that we feel ought to be done. We can see the need, we feel it's right, but somehow we put off doing it. Maybe we put on lives on hold. Imagine a student goes away to university for 3 years. Well, I would say to the student, get involved in the church. If need be, become an associate member of the church. What can be done in 3 years? Don't put your spiritual life on hold. Yes, I know life, your spiritual life isn't just within the church, but be part of a church and get involved. Sometimes as Christians, we're guilty of leaving things to the future instead of doing what God wants us to do now. Do you remember the parable of the talents? It's one man, he buries his talent, but the other two, they work. Do you remember the parable of the wise and foolish virgins? The wise have their lamps trimmed. There's oil there. They're ready. They're waiting for the master to return. The others, well, they're sleeping. That's a picture of the church, isn't it? It's a picture of believers who love the Lord, who have the Holy Spirit, who are waiting for the return of Christ and serving him. But those who are false professors, who haven't really given their hearts to the Lord. Well, what are signs of sleepiness? The comforts and the entertainments of the world far more important to us. We have little thought of God. We're half-hearted, little prayer, little Bible reading, little devotion, little service, maybe poor attendance at the means of grace, often absent from the prayer meeting. That's a sign of a Christian who's sleeping, if they can be there, but not there. They need to wake up. Lack of service, there's somebody to witness to, a neighbour to visit, something that we know that we can do, a letter to write, a gift to give. And we know it's there before us, but we hold back. Sleepiness. The Lord says, wake up. And then finally this evening, think that your salvation is one day nearer. Think that you're going to be in glory, you're close to it. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Think, your salvation is nearer. Secondly, wake up. Engage in the battle. But thirdly, act. There's things that we must be doing now. We must break off with sin. We must cast off the works of darkness. We must put on the armour of light. We must make no provision for the lusts of the flesh. This is a serious matter, and it calls for Christians to be serious. Do you know, seriousness and joy go hand in hand. Doing what is right and loving God go together. Well, what are we to cast off? It says here, cast off the works of darkness. Now, the Roman culture was as lurid as it is today. People in Rome had been converted from homes where there was much darkness, drunkenness, promiscuity, swearing, strife, lust. It was very prevalent in the Roman society. Greediness, covetousness. Human nature has always been the same. And people converted from these backgrounds, they were called to put off that old pattern of life, cast off those works of darkness. And maybe you say, but that isn't the problem in our church. Drunkenness certainly isn't a problem for us as Christians. Don't see anybody sleeping around. Swearing, none of us would ever swear, would we? Strife, well, our families are families of unity and peace. But then think again, yes, we can be thankful for grace in our families. But think of Christian marriages that you know that have fallen apart. Think of people in your own family. Maybe teenagers been involved in fornication, drug addiction, alcohol, strife, turmoil. People falling out in their families. These are Christians. Indulgences of the flesh, gluttony, pornography, greed, selfish pleasures. These things are very real. They're in the church. And the call is to cast off these things, the works of the flesh. We're in a battle. The fruit of the Spirit is to be evident. Love, joy, peace. All these things are to be evident. But the works of the flesh we're to fight against. What are they? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. You might think, sorcery? What's sorcery got to do with the Christian world? Well, when we were in Brazil, one of the ladies in the church went to a witch doctor. Some people today in the UK come to church and read their horoscopes. Hatred put off, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reveries, and the like. These are the works of the flesh. And we're called to cast them off. Our culture is very pagan, isn't it? And we're to put on Christ. We're to put off these things. So cast off, but then put on the armour of light. Why light? Why is it an armour of light? Well, light speaks of holiness. Light speaks of purity. That's what the Lord wants us to do, to live in that way. There's a breastplate of righteousness that we're called to wear. There's a belt of truth that we're called to put on. There's the helmet of the hope of salvation. There's those shoes of peace, gospel peace, that we must put on. We're to take up the shield of faith. We're to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're to be Christian soldiers in this world, meditating on the Word of God, praying in the Spirit, obedient to the Word of God. Are we acting? Am I acting? Are we doing? Verses 13 and 14. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Interesting, when you look at the qualifications for deacons and elders, some of them were very basic ones, weren't they? For example, a deacon was not to be a brawler, not to be somebody who was using his fists. You think, well, why on earth would that needed to be said? Well, these people were coming from ungodly backgrounds. Here it speaks in verse 13 of revelry and drunkenness. Well, if we're to make no provision for the lust of the flesh, that may mean that at times where we know those things are taking place, maybe there's a works party. We're invited to it. We may go to it and be a witness to a point, but we may say at a certain time, I'm leaving that party. I know that that's going to end up in revelry and drunkenness. I know it. I'm not going to kid myself. And I don't want to be part of it. There's a family do. And they're inviting me. And I know that the alcohol's going to be flowing. I may go if I'm given strength and be a good witness, but I know my limit and I know when to leave. I won't get involved in the revelry. I won't become part of it. Lewdness and lust. Lord, I pray that you'll help me in the privateness of my own home. When there are things before my eyes on the television or looking at my phone, or looking on the internet, they would not be involved in lustful thoughts and lewdness. When I read my newspaper, or when I read this book, that, Lord, I would be pure before you, that these things would not be part of my life. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Lord, I want to be just content with you. Happy to be a servant, happy to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. I don't want to be envious of anyone, not anybody's money, position, job, life, wife, husband. I don't want to be envious. And I don't want to be involved in backbiting and strife. These is to do with the works of the flesh. Lord, my contentment is in you. You see, these things are very relevant for us, aren't they? Now, when it says this, verse 14, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill his lusts. Well, there's all sorts of ways that we're to starve our flesh. It may mean I'm not going to spend time alone with that person. I know if I spend time alone with that person alone, I'm in danger. It may mean making a covenant with your eyes, not to look at this or that. It may mean you're going down the supermarket aisles and there's a certain aisle that you avoid because you do not want to give opportunity for the flesh. It will mean that you think carefully about what you put before your eyes. You see, it says this. Jesus said this, the lamp of the body is the eye. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. If you contemplate with your mind, the eye of your mind, things that are good and right and holy, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? what we think on, what we look at, TV, cinema, social media, internet, do we compromise? But then it's not just putting off, is it? It's putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something so positive. There's the negative, the things that we avoid, not making provision for the lust of the flesh, but we put on Christ, we seek him, we pray to him, we walk in him, we read the word of God, we pray over the word of God. So the message this evening is, think that you're one day nearer seeing the Lord Jesus, one day nearer your salvation. Wake up. Wake up to the fact that you're in a battle and act by casting off the works of darkness and by putting on Christ. There's a great sadness in lost opportunities, isn't there? Sometimes that little things that pull you up. I think I've mentioned this before, but I remember visiting a city in Brazil, in the West Amazon, and met this girl, and I recognised her to be our neighbour from just across the road. And we'd spoken to her a little, but I don't know if we'd ever spoken the gospel to her. And she shared how she'd become a Christian in another city, and I was very thankful, but I also thought, well, I wonder if that was a lost opportunity. Yes, I know in God's sovereignty, he chose others that she might be saved, but maybe the Lord bypasses us and uses others when we're not prepared to speak. And then just recently, our neighbour in front of us was telling us how her daughter now is going to a local evangelical church and seems to have embraced the gospel. I thought, well, how many times did I see that young lady? How many times did I have an opportunity to speak to her? And was I asleep? The Lord wants us to redeem the time, knowing that the days are evil. Now, I don't know if you've heard of the doomsday clock. Scientists came together in 1945, then in 1947 it was put in action. These were atomic scientists, and their job was to predict the likelihood of nuclear catastrophe. And on 23 occasions since 1947, that clock has been altered. And it's basically so many minutes to midnight. Midnight means doomsday, nuclear war, devastation. Well, in 2002, they set the clock to 7 minutes to midnight. In 2015 and 16, they set the clock to 3 minutes to midnight. In 2017, they set the clock to 2.5 minutes to midnight. But maybe as Christians, we ought to say, actually, it's 1 minute to midnight. Not in terms of a nuclear catastrophe. That's in God's hands, isn't it? But in terms of Christ coming again, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us do the works of him who called us. Amen.